The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
On yesterday's daf, I discussed the idea of hetereska. So I'd like to take it a little bit further today, talk about an application of hetereska, and also as it applies to what the daf discusses, the idea of being moichel shvua, forgiving a person and absolving a person of their chiv shvua. So I'm not going to recap all the deep, intricate details of hetereska. Let's just go over it a little bit, and we'll start by discussing a case. Reuven and Shimon once came to the Torah. Reuven had lent Shimon money. This was before the financial crash of 2007-2008, and they had agreed upon a certain interest rate, which was pretty high. And when the market crashed, Shimon, who had been the borrower, who had originally been planning to refinance, realized that he would not be able to refinance because of the credit crunch which occurred at that time. And Shimon therefore asked the lender to renegotiate the loan and to absolve himself from the chiyuv, from the obligation of paying interest on the loan. So the lender, who was obviously extremely unhappy about this, he had been expecting to get the interest from the loan, saw that he didn't really have a choice because he felt that the borrower would default on the loan, and therefore the lender indicated to the borrower that under certain circumstances he would agree to forgive the interest portion of the loan. And without going into the details, the one question which arose between Reuven and Shimon was that Reuven said that he had never actually forgiven the loan. He had agreed to forgive the loan, but he hadn't actually forgiven the loan. And Shimon said, "What's the difference? You indicated that you wanted that you were in agreement to forgive the loan." Now, halachically, we know that, let's say, Reuven had lent Shimon money, and Reuven tells Shimon that if you do a certain thing, I will be moichel, I will forgive the loan. The halacha is that that is an invalid mechila. It does not absolve Shimon of the chiyuv to repay that loan. Why? Because the expression, I will forgive, does not denote that you actually have forgiven the loan. It denotes that you plan on forgiving the loan. But unless you actually carry through and legally absolve the person of the loan, the intention to forgive the loan will not be sufficient to absolve the borrower from paying back the loan. So therefore, Reuven would seem to have a strong case to say that he would be able to collect the interest from Shimon the borrower, because he never actually said, I hereby forgive the loan. He only indicated that under certain circumstances he would agree to forgive the loan, but he never actually carried through with that intention of forgiving the loan. He said, okay, I intended to forgive the loan, but I never actually forgave the loan because I never really wanted to in the first place. I just indicated that I would if you would repay me the principal, but being that now you repay the principal, I have no reason anymore to forgive the loan, so therefore I will not go through with what I agreed to do, and I will not forgive the loan. So this was the question which was presented to Beis Din. So based on our understanding of heter iska, which we discussed yesterday, which I'll recap a little bit today, I think that there's a new angle to think about in this kind of situation. We discussed yesterday that the mechanics of heter iska, the mechanics of specifically the interest portion of heter iska, is that al pi halacha the borrower would be we explained yesterday, the borrower is really just managing the lender's funds in heter iska. And therefore, the borrower would be obligated to make a shvua, to swear. And the lender agrees originally that if the borrower will agree to pay a certain amount of interest, if the borrower will pay a certain amount of interest, then the lender forgives the shvua. He absolves the borrower from the chiyuv shvua, which he would have had the borrower not paid the interest. So since that's the mechanics of the chiyuv shvua, so we have to understand that when a person lends money with a heter iska, there's no actual interest which is owed. The interest is just a way by which the borrower has the right to absolve himself from the chi of shor. But technically, if the borrower agreed to swear, there will be no chi of interest, there will be no chi of ribbis, no obligation to pay interest at all. So therefore, we have to really analyze what the lender is saying. Let's say the lender would have said, I hereby forgive the interest. What would that mean? There is no obligation of interest. There is no chiv of interest in a heter iska. There's no monetary obligation to pay ribbis. It's just that in order to get out of the chiv shvuah, in order to absolve yourself of a chiv shvuah, you have a method, you have a recourse of how to absolve yourself of the chiv shvuah, which is by paying interest. But it's just a technique that the borrower can use if he so desires to remove the chiv shvuah. But it has, there's absolutely no obligation to pay interest. So when the lender says, I hereby am moichel, I forgive the chiv of interest, we have to understand what that means. Does that mean that he's forgiving the shvuah again? Or does that mean that he's forgiving and removing that stipulation which he made in the original forgiveness, when he originally said, I will forgive the shvuah if you pay the interest? We can say that the lender is now removing that stipulation. He's saying that the fact that I forgave the shvuah originally stands, even if you don't keep your part of the bargain, which was to pay the interest, I will still stand by the original mechila, the original forgiveness of the shvuah, which I did originally when we agreed to the terms of the heter iska. In other words, since we understand that there is no actual chiyuv of interest, when a person says he's being moichel the interest, he's forgiving the interest, we can understand it in one of two ways. Either he's forgiving the shvuah, which is the driving force behind the interest, or we could say that since that thing had already been done, the person had already forgiven the shvuah, and he stipulated it by saying that if you pay the interest, I will forgive the shvuah. So we could say that you don't have to go and again and remove the driving force of the interest. You can just remove the stipulation of the interest. What he means to say when he's forgiving the interest is that he means to say that he's forgiving that condition which he made originally. He originally imposed the condition. He said, the only way I'm willing to forgo the chiyuv shvuah is if you pay me interest. So it's that condition which he's removing from the original forgiveness. So if we say like that, then it's possible that we can differentiate between this and a regular mechila of a loan. Like we said before, generally when you're trying to execute a mechila, when you're trying to annul and void a loan, you have to say, I hereby forgive the loan. You can't say, under certain circumstances, I would agree to forgive the loan. That is an intention, it's an expression of intent, but it doesn't actually absolve the loan. It doesn't actually have the legal power to remove the loan from the record. So, in this case, where there is no actual liability, there is no actual loan, there's no actual chiv on the borrower in this situation, it's just a agreement that they made, and the lender has an option of fulfilling a certain condition and agreement that they made. One could argue that in this case, the lashon of mechila, the expression of forgiveness, does not have to be as clear as it would have had to be had the loan been a real chiyuv. What does this mean? What can we base this on? Because the halacha is that, let's say a person sells something to another person and he imposes certain conditions and certain stipulations in the contract, and then the seller who imposed these stipulations or conditions agrees that these stipulations and conditions do not have to be fulfilled and the sale should stand nonetheless. So halacha is that a lender has the ability that whoever imposes the conditions in the first place has an ability to remove those conditions from the agreement. And there's an argument, what mechanics are used to accomplish that? So there's one opinion in the Rishonim which seems to be the halacha, which says as follows: that the way that the mechanics behind the ability to remove a stipulation which was already imposed and included in the contract is that the assumption is that the only reason the stipulation was put into the contract is only because the person putting it in cares about it. Let's say the person says, "I don't care about that condition anymore." So he never intended originally to put that condition into the contract and to make the sale contingent upon that condition. Because the only reason he put it in the first place is because he had a certain concern about that specific thing. But once he says, at this point, that's immaterial to me. So at that point, had he known that originally, he never would have inserted that condition in the first place into the contract. So therefore, one could argue that when we're dealing with removing a stipulation from an agreement, you don't actually have to go ahead and annul that stipulation. You just have to show that you don't care about it. Once you've shown you don't care about it, so we say that originally when you insisted upon putting that into the agreement, it was only in this, if the circumstance would be that I care about it. But if the circumstances have changed and I don't care about that anymore, so then it's as though it never was included in the contract. So in our situation, where in every Heter Iska, the lender already forgives the borrower and says, I remove the Chiyuv Shvuah from you, but he made a condition and he said that the only way I'm going to remove the Shvuah is only if you pay me an agreed upon amount of interest. So once the lender indicates, in whatever way he does so, that under certain circumstances he would not insist upon receiving that interest payment, once he does that, now we know that he doesn't care about the interest payment anymore. So even though the expression which he used was not technically valid, halachically, it may nevertheless carry the same weight, being that what he's accomplishing is not as substantial as what he would have to accomplish had the chiyuv been a real chiyuv. But since the chiyuv rivas, the obligation to pay interest in the Heter Iska, is not a real obligation, it's not a monetary obligation, it's only an agreement, it's only a stipulation in a contract, so therefore the removal of that stipulation may be substantially easier to accomplish and less dependent on the legal strength of his expression than had it been a real obligation.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.